This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanesan, and Noelle Lim.
Well, looking at the US markets, the Dow is down 0.1%, S&P 500 down 0.4%, and NASDAQ was down 1%.
Over in Asia, though, let's take a look at the markets there. It was a bit of a mixed day. Nikkei was up 0.4%. The Hang Seng was down 1.1%. Shanghai was also in the red, down 0.4%. In the region itself, in the Southeast Asian region, Singapore was up 0.05%, and the FBM KLCI was down 0.5%.
And for some insight into global markets, this morning we're speaking with Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited, based in Chicago. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today. So President Joe Biden is proposing a minimum 15% corporate tax rate to Republicans as a concession for bipartisan support on the infrastructure bill versus the original plan of 28%. And yet markets appeared to correct last night. Why was this the case?
Well, actually, markets really, they started out much lower and, you know, firmed up, as the day wore on. But overall, I mean, that's pretty friendly, the 15% corporate tax rate, especially versus 28. But I think the real sticking point in this is going to be the proposed capital gains tax. And I also think that there's a lot of mistrust between Republicans and the Democrats over this issue as well. So I think there needs to be a little more. But basically, on balance, that's a nice step, and I think it's important. But I think they're looking at beyond that as well, and also the merit of what the infrastructure bill contains as well.
Meanwhile, all eyes are on the non-farm payroll numbers out later today. If the figure beats expectation, does this mean that the Fed is likely to start tapering sooner than later, especially since recent data has been strong?
You know, I would expect the support to be a blowout because of the, big shortfall we had last month. So I think that will correct. I don't think there's any question. And I think you're hearing from former New York Fed President Dudley, and I believe a couple other Fed officials that think the Fed should start thinking about tapering because I think they see what's going on here. So I don't think that's a big secret. And I also think what's going on in the marketplace with this liquidity and the speculation that's going on, I think the Fed needs to take note of that. They've got way too much liquidity in this market driving asset prices higher.
Actually, on that note, Tim, reported about an hour ago on CNBC, billionaire investor Bill Ackman's SPAC is nearing a deal to take Universal Music Group public. This potential deal reportedly values Universal Music at roughly $40 billion, and this would become the biggest SPAC deal ever with all this liquidity in the market. Are SPAC deals going to get gradually bigger, or is this simply an outlier?
You know, it's interesting because I think we mentioned this earlier in the year, but there have been like something like 150 or so SPAC deals this year, just under around $50 billion, I believe. That's the number, but which is quite large. I think SPACs have been underperforming and becoming under some regulatory scrutiny, so maybe soured a bit. But Bill Ackman is a very, well-respected person, and he comes after something like Universal Music, which I think I've never haven't valued or attempted to, but I think it's probably not an easy one to value. But I would probably say SPACs are probably losing a little bit of their luster. But nevertheless, it seems like, the preferred IPO or easiest IPO method. So given Bill Ackman's sponsorship here, you have to give it a good look. So, other than that, I can't really comment too much on the valuation.
Right. So on that note then, Tim, are SPACs going to be about who's behind them as opposed to the potential merits of the deal?
I think it's both, but really who's sponsoring it with their track record. As with any money manager, the track record, I think, is going to be very important. And he's shown quite a bit of, success over the years. But I think it's a combination of both. But I think the sponsorship is really huge, would be the first thing I would be looking at.
So, Tim, the meme stock rally appears to be back with a vengeance, with AMC's share price hitting new highs recently and then falling. So what factors are driving these speculative forces, and where's the end game for all this?
You know, I think this is insane, and we're going to look back at this. We're going to look back at this in years and say, well, how easy was this to spot the wild speculation? But when you look at how they're buying and why they're buying meme stock, just the whole merit behind that tells me that I'd like to start, looking at puts. That's all. No, I just don't, you know, again, that's not my cup of tea, but I think it really is probably the poster child of the speculative excesses in the market.
Well, still on insanity, Tesla's shares took a hit during the day after news that its market share in global electric vehicle sales had dropped in April, and it was losing ground in China and other key markets. So U.S. authorities also recalled some vehicles. Your thoughts about Tesla as a stock?
Well, as a stock, I mean, aside from its battery storage, which I think is really probably the bigger deal, you know, when you look at Ford, and I think they're, you know, making a lot of headway in these automakers, Volkswagen and so forth, a lot of competition coming in this area. So given Tesla's valuation and the fact that it was bought up on after a split of all things, but I think that it's, you know, I think given its valuation level and the competition in the market, electric vehicles themselves, I think is, you know, again, not a reason to expose Tesla's overvaluation.
And on the flip side of all things Tesla, let's talk about oil, Tim. The S&P Energy Index has made a return of about 44% year to date. And in fact, I think United States oil, USO, is about 70% up on a 12-month basis. Are you a believer in the higher energy prices this year, thus making this sector more attractive for investors and their portfolios?
Yeah, you know, I am actually very bullish. I wish I had more energy. But very bullish. And a lot of it because this exploration, you know, of oil really slowed down quite a bit last year during when the onset of the pandemic. And you just don't turn this on. And then given this, you know, new energy or clean energy and so forth, this new movement that we're seeing right now, I think the energy market, you're going to see oil, I think, well over $100. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see it challenge its 2007, 2008 highs near $200.
And very quickly, Tim, let's talk a little bit about gold, because recently it has been flirting with the $900 per ounce line. It's now a little bit below that, fell yesterday. It's now year to date down 1.4%. Do you see it trading within this range for the rest of the year, or are we going to see it maybe weaken off this position a little bit more?
Yeah, I actually look for it to break out in the upside. And I think it's really going to be a function of the dollar, more or less, which I'm quite, you know, I think I have a, you know, bear, like to, I'm a seller of rallies in the dollar. I think the dollar is going to see much lower prices this year and in the years ahead. So I'm a believer in gold, and I think gold should be bought on dips, and I think it's going to take out the 2000 level before this year's out.
Tim, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited based in Chicago, giving us some insight into what's happening in global markets. And of course, we talked a little bit about AMC there, the extreme volatility insanity that's been happening. Cinema chain AMC raised $587 million in its latest share sale yesterday, despite the extreme volatility seen in its stock price. The announcement on Thursday morning that AMC would offer 11.5 million shares to retail investors caused the share price to plunge 40% before recovering by the end of the trading day. So AMC have said that it plans to use the money from the stock sale to generate corporate purposes, which may include paying down existing debt as well as a potential acquisition of theatre assets.
AMC is capitalising on its status as a meme stock as retail traders are piling into the stock driven by social media hype. So a crazy turn of events, I guess, for AMC, given that it was staring at potential bankruptcy only a few months ago in the face of the pandemic and brutal competition in the streaming services.
Right, let's take a look at AMC's stock. It is down 17.9% this morning. It's now trading around $51.34. That's what it was at the close. On a 1 month basis, AMC is up 429%. On a year to date basis, it is up 2,322%. That is rubber glove territory this time last year or thereabouts. I mean, these are some crazy numbers here. On a one-year basis, up 840%. But this has gone to show the one part of this, of course, is the retail traders, the meme stock traders who've come into, in some instances, as a rallying cry. Initially, they started off with GameStop, and it just seems to, you know, well, they find their flavor of the week. I wonder whether some liquidity from Bitcoin has moved on to here as well, right? Because it's kind of, these kind of traders are the the kind of traders that move prices.
Yeah, so even AMC have acknowledged the discrepancy in their share price, and they've cautioned any would-be investors in its sale that the recent volatility and our current market price reflect market and trading dynamics unrelated
Didn't stop them from trying to capitalize on it, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, because the share price has gone up significantly. But I'm wondering what is going to be the next beneficiary of this kind of meme stock rally. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. We are also looking at Ant this morning. So I guess the question here for Ant Group is, could the skies be clearing for them? Because China appears to be allowing Jack Ma's Ant Group to start operations at its consumer finance company. It's the first sign of progress after the regulatory crackdown that we saw torpedo their potential record listing last year.
The unit will be allowed to lend to individuals and issue bonds, as well as borrow from domestic financial institutions, according to a notice from the regulators. The approval marks an important step, obviously, in Ant's overhaul as it transitions to become a financial holding company that will be more regulated like a bank. And so I think the new unit registered as Chongqing Ant Consumer Finance will allow Ant to continue with consumer lending, its most lucrative operations.
Yeah, and of course, the big question here will be how does this affect valuations? Because while there were, I think, some strong concerns about how they were operating and the kind of liquidity ratios that they had on hand, the kind of deposits they held, the way it came about in terms of the so-called clampdown was following some comments from Jack Ma, which then scuttled a IPO for Ant Group at that point. Taking a look at Alibaba's stock, Alibaba stock listed in the US closed down 1.1% earlier. It's at $217. On a one-year basis, it is down 0.7%. Year-to-date, down 6.7%. If we take a look at Alibaba stock over in Hong Kong, it was unchanged at the end of yesterday. We'll see how it opens later today. $210 Hong Kong dollars, and on a year-to-date basis, down 9.4%. On a one-year basis, basically flat at this point. Alibaba in 2020 made $510 billion in annual revenue, $510 billion in annual revenue. Sorry about that. I don't think any company has made that much money. $510 billion in 2020. That's about 50% more than they made in 2019. And 2021 looks to be around $717 billion. So they are growing. Some concerns over regulatory elements are what's keeping this stock a little bit
Settled the fine already, right?
Yeah, they did. But I guess it's just about which big tech company in China is next, right, on the list.
I mean, just this area that Ant is venturing into now, consumer finance, has become very competitive over in China. The banking regulator back in 2010, they started a pilot program to promote purchase of durable goods like household appliances. And since then, more than 20 such consumer finance companies have come up. They are unable to take deposits, but they can fund their loans by borrowing from the interbank market, shareholders, as well as issuing bond and asset-backed securities. So this is going to be an interesting space to watch, certainly. And now very quickly, also just moving over to Garuda. So Indonesia's national carrier, not doing so well. They're planning to completely restructure their business in order to survive the pandemic. So according to Bloomberg sources, the company's considering cancelling orders for the newest version of the Airbus jet, the A330neo. They're talking to lessors about returning some of the A330s already in their fleet, and as well as halving the number of Boeing 777-300ER jets they have in their fleet.
The parliament has been informed yesterday that the airline seeks a debt standstill with creditors to further, further deplete its cash or face the prospects of going bankrupt.
Garuda, we'll have to wait and see how it opens today, but yesterday at the close, it was up 2.24% over in Indonesia. Year to date, the stock is down 32%, or just under 32%. On a 12-month basis, still in the green, up 14%.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.